right, everybody. Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Every single one. You can count on that.
You sure can. Mm-hmm. Jay, here's an interesting question for you. Do you have a go-to face when you're taking like a selfie or a photograph or like, you know, a group photo or anything like that?
I mean, yeah, pretty much for sure. Because we take a lot of these. So.
We take quite a few. I mean, but like, you know, for a tour and whatnot and such not. Do you like... Maybe it's more of like a selfie photo. Do you have like a good selfie photo?
I mean, my go-to face is usually like mouth open smile. Like if you're watching, you can see me do it right now. Ready? I'm going to go like that. Like not like teeth together smile, like mouth open, like, you know, like that.
That's what's going to be. Harmonize with me now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have it. Like, I mean, and then if we're doing like a selfie, like at a meet and greet, I usually like someone, like usually Isabel's taking the pictures and I will have she'll take like three or four. So I'll have like a series that I kind of go through, not necessarily because I think like one looks better than the other or to give the person options, but because I find that if you don't refresh your smile, it starts to get stale. And if it gets stale, then it looks fake. Like if you're smiling like that, and then you just hold that smile for like 10 seconds. And by the end of it, you're just sort of like, by the end, you're not smiling, you're cringing.
It's like, why are your eyes not smiling?
Exactly.
But your mouth is.
Exactly. Yeah. Your eyes stop smiling. That's the problem. So you got to be like, So like I will reset the smile over and over.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, interesting.
Is my strategy.
It's a funny thing because I feel like once upon a time I was watching the TV show Love Island UK, which I think I talked about on the pop quite a few times, but I think it's the original one versus I think it got very popular in America here and late. I haven't watched it at all though. But there was a guy who was on there who was like a male model and it was kind of like one of those things where he was very good looking, but then he also kind of had like that sort of underlying vein, I'm a model type of like persona, which I actually think most of the people, like once they got acclimated to it, like almost like friend zoned him. So it was almost like he was a perfectly like, you know, well, he was a likable person as a friend, but you would think as like a male model, this would like absolutely like you sheer perception would suggest that that's a good thing for you.
Sure.
In the dating world.
In terms of attracting customers.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But one of the things he was exceptionally good at was he had like a whole bunch of different faces that he could like do. And if you could imagine being like a model who is like on set, who has been hired as a model to go and showcase something, like you may be asked by your photographer or director, I don't really know who is guiding models through their behaviors, but you know, like to give a variety of different expressions as to like kind of change the look and feel of what they might be going for with like a product.
Yeah.
And it actually was kind of like, wow, he has like finessed this. He has like figured out how to do a variety of like different faces. But the reason I bring this up actually is not because I've been thinking about that guy at all. It just happened to spark into my mind about it. But we were talking to Isabel the other day and she was like, yeah, getting like your right like selfie face is kind of like an art form. And I was like, it is an art form and I am not good at it.
Mm.
Like it's like one of those.
What's your go-to selfie face?
I don't know. Like I feel like a lot of times it's like I can't, you know how when you're going to take a selfie, sometimes it's almost like you like crane your neck in a strange way or something like to try to make sure you're like in the photo. Or like, I think the other one is the instinct to pull your head backwards, like further from the phone. And that way, like let me see if I can take one really quick, like just as an example. But it's almost like the, like,
oh yeah, like that.
Yeah. Like
I think, well, I'm trying to think. I think a lot of times you're right. I will tilt my head, but it's because like the camera is tilted too, because my hand is crooked. So it'll be like, maybe.
So here's the next question in terms of your selfie proceduring is you look at the camera or do you look at yourself in the phone?
Well, to figure out my face, I will stare at myself until I will try and set my face. And then once I feel like it's at a good spot, like, you know, once I feel like I've got the right expression, then I will shift my eyes to the lens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I could see that. I could see where that would be helpful. And I would say, so for for a photo shoot that we did with our friend Danny in Cleveland last year, one of the things that she did that I thought was actually extremely helpful is she had these gigantic mirrors that were like on like rolling panels that she could put behind her or the camera or like whatever. And so then it was kind of nice because you could almost like see yourself and like find the expression that you wanted,
right?
And then go from mirror to camera.
Right.
But a lot of times if I'm taking a selfie, I am not thinking that I'm supposed to like, cause the dot on the self, like where the camera lens is on the forward facing camera is not really that visible.
No, it's like, not. Yeah.
You kind of just have to
you
know,
have to know where it is.
It's there. Yeah. It's like, look at it correctly. So that's another one where I think very often I end up taking a selfie and my eyes are like slightly off because I'm looking at me, not looking at the dot.
I see.
Which I find to be, for what it's worth, I realize I just gave an example where it's like, looking in a mirror helps. Looking in a selfie camera, it doesn't help. But the difference is that like looking into Danny's camera is like a big, you know, proper DSLR camera with a big lens and like a big eye.
Yeah.
So it's like, it gives you like an obvious thing to look at. Whereas like the little dot on the forward facing camera is like,
right. Yeah. It's like black by design. You can't see it.
Right. Right. But, I mean, I think everybody is always more, maybe not everybody. I think you're more inclined to be critical of a photo of yourself.
For sure.
Because you tend to like know the things that you see as like flaws, maybe.
Yeah. Like you, when you look at a picture, are going to look at yourself more than the other people are.
Maybe so. Maybe so. And what's interesting for me sometimes is a variety of things. One is that I don't think I'm very good at selfies. I feel like I can't figure out like the arm placement. I can't figure out like where I'm supposed to be. I don't really know like what facial expression I want to do for a selfie. And so part of me was almost just like, I wonder, like once Isabel said it, I was like, I wonder if I should go practice. Like, should I like figure out like how to do this? But then even that, my mind immediately went to like the hair gel problem that you and I both kind of went through, like when we first started like morphing from our like long shaggy hair aesthetic
right
into like this more like swooshed to the side look.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like in the beginning it was like, well, we can't spend time. I mean, you can't let people possibly know you care,
right? Oh geez.
So it's like you almost wanted like a look that was neat but also like didn't take me long.
Do you know what I saw it described like this one day for shirts, like the shirt I'm wearing right now. Okay. It's like a short sleeve button up.
Yeah,
right.
Looking sharp.
Okay. So like the description was, leave it, you know, leave the sleeve like, what would you call this? Like rolled up, like roll it back once or whatever.
Like folded up once.
Yeah. Like folded up once, like leave it unfolded if you just want it to look like, you know, casual or relaxed or whatever, but fold it up if you want it to look intentional. And I was like, that is exactly the word, right? It is like, if you, by folding it up, it's not even necessarily that like it looks better or not. It's that, it says like you care, you know, like you are being intentional about the way you look as opposed to I just put clothes on.
Right.
Right. And, but not in a like vain sort of way. And in like, I care about how I present myself kind of way. Like it, like I wanted to look good for you kind of way.
Sure. Right. Sure. And I do think that I think sometimes we can be like overcritical of that kind of thing, as if it's like as if there would be anything negative about just taking one small extra step.
Right.
In the name of like modifying a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So I was just thinking about this because I was like, I wonder if other people have like this same, you know, like if they run into the same problem, because it's like, on the one hand, you could be like, well, you're just being critical of yourself because that's like, you know, your entire personality basically. But, the other version of it is that like, I don't mind like usual candid photos. Like I tend to feel like those just end up like looking so much better.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like behaving naturally.
Yeah.
And so like a lot of times it's almost nice to see a candid photo because I'm like, this is what people see.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like that's, hopefully that's closer to reality than like whatever I think.
I mean, I agree. I love a good candid photo, but the selfie is unavoidable. Like
it is unavoidable.
You
know, yeah.
It is perhaps worth taking some time to get it right because you're going to be taking them probably for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. And so a lot of times the way that I treat the selfie is like maybe possibly even like entirely non in a like vanity capacity and almost exclusively in a documentation capacity. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times it's sort of like, hey, look, here's me at the arch in
St. Louis.
St. Louis, thank you. I was like, I had Salt Lake City stuck in my head and I couldn't get it out. In St. Louis. You know, and it's sort of like, here's a picture of me here.
Yeah.
You know, or similarly, like when we went to the Toy Story 5 thing, it was sort of like, I want like the thing of like, this is a way for me to take a photo without having to ask anybody. And it just proves I was here.
Right.
You know, or like a big group photo at like a fun restaurant. It's like, commemorate like, you know, date night with my two buddies or something.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not meant to be a good photo. It's meant to be like a remember me.
Right. Yeah.
Type photo.
Yeah. Like we were here. We did this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know what you're good at is like the, you can do like the hand on face shocked look as a selfie. This? Yeah. That one. Yeah. Yeah. You want to see something embarrassing?
Okay. Yeah. Let's see it.
I tried to do it when I was at Toy Story 5 because I was like, oh, Jay always does this and it always looks so good. And then I went to, I'm in the wrong year. Hang on a second. And then I was trying to do it and I was like, well, that was just embarrassing.
What? No, let's see it.
What do you even think you're doing with your life, Ben? Hang on. You're going to laugh. Hang on. Here it comes. Dun, 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 dun. Where are we? See?
No, that looks fine.
That looks fine.
That's totally good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll have to put it on screen for people or something so they can be like, they can weigh in.
Yeah. Did Ben look okay? Like, oh my God, shocked.
Right. Okay. So then the other thing, speaking of selfies, so we have like the Aura Frame things that they're like a sponsor of the show, but also just a product that we like, but it's like the digital picture frame. And this has largely become like my social media posting outlet, which is basically that Dad has one, Alice's mom has one, and we have one. And actually, I think technically what you guys have one and I just don't have like your code to like send my photos to your frame or whatever, which we could probably rectify very easily.
We probably could. Yeah.
But the selfie, I feel like, is a very important social media offering.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's where it came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's like,
because like when Instagram first started, like posting selfies was like cringe, you know. It was like, what, you're posting a picture of yourself?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, like take pictures of what you're doing. Oh my gosh. Like, right. Yeah. Now it's like, that's all it is.
Oh, how things have changed.
Yeah.
Yes. But like, I wonder if that's even like a piece of it too, where it's like, I don't have anything to do with my selfies. You know, like where would they go?
Right.
You know, other than my Aura Frame.
Yeah. Other than, you just have the memory of having done it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Cherish that forever.
Exactly. Here I was. I made it.
Here I was. Anyway, yeah. So gonna try to figure out. Actually, the other thing that I'm always fighting is trying to figure out. And this is why I don't know how to do it. Sometimes I smile and my forehead goes up, and sometimes I smile and it doesn't.
Oh, wait. Do it again. Like, let's see. Okay. It's whether or not you're opening your bottom lip is what it looks like.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw that so fast.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think like for the shocked face. I feel like if I practiced that or not, I don't know. I feel like I've honed it in for sure. The selfie I'm having to post a lot recently is when I go live on Twitch.
Okay.
I'll post it on our Discord server, and I'll also post it on Instagram. Just like, I'm live, come hang out, whatever.
Right.
And I'm always like, well, what? I gotta have a good picture for this, you know. What do I post? And so I typically will like flip the camera so you can kind of see the game in the background. And then I'm like, I've been working on this particular phrase, right? This one right here, where you sort of like make a big L with your thumb and your index finger.
Yeah.
And like kind of like position it around your chin.
The thinking man.
The thinking. Yeah. Just sort of like the or like I don't know. Like, I'll be taking them just like, yep, want to come hang out? Because you don't want, I feel like the face, I'm like, what face do I need to make here? Like, is it just like really excited, kind of like, oh my God, we're on Twitch, you know?
Maybe that's what you should start doing, is like getting like a little like wheel that you can spin down there. And it's just sort of like, when? Nope, guess today I'm going with just like,
right,
violently ill.
Yeah.
Just like,
violently ill, just like, yeah, come hang out. Yeah,
that'd be funny. You like bodily noises and pale flop sweat?
Yeah,
come on down.
Yeah, because like you want to like match the chill. but you know, you don't want, I don't know. It feels like the smile feels like not the right face for this particular offering to come hang out and join us on Twitch.
We can't just smile.
Yeah. We're like, you know, but it's not like, I don't know why.
Okay. You know, what's really interesting about this to me a little bit is like the mass adoption of like emojis. You know, yeah. Like it's like one of these things where in the beginning that also felt like maybe it could be like cringe, almost like overly shortenified, like, you know, like the LOLs or whatever, or BRB. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like it feels like that kind of thing. But then I feel like I think, and maybe this just like date, you know, like ages me or dates me, whatever the phrase is. But like I think like emojis can do a fine job of like helping to add additional context to what you're attempting to say.
Right. Yeah,
like,
oh, agreed.
Like it can drastically like soften the blow.
Yeah, I mean it's like the ADEM. It's like you like literally stated what the emotion was, you know.
Right. Yes. It's like the accompanying gesture is like, haha, I'm laughing crying because this is funny.
Right, exactly. It's like, so this, don't need to take this too seriously.
Exactly.
Right now. It's like I'm saying this, but also I'm like a little embarrassed. So I have the little like the laughing sweat nervous guy. I use that one a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like
But yeah, maybe that's like where like facial expressions, it's almost like you like finding the right facial expression for the right context. It's almost like on the one hand it might feel like you're overthinking it, and then on the other it's like, no, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know, like you need like it's part of the skill.
Yeah, of texting.
Of texting.
Yeah.
Or in this case, thumbnailing for stream.
Right. You gotta get it just right.
You gotta get, you know? Just, yeah. I mean, like, cause just smiling, it would be like, I don't want to go talk to Smiley McGee over here.
Right. I know. I'm like, you know, it's like, cause you're starting at like 8 o'clock at night. It's like people are winding down. You're not posting like, you know, it's not like party. You know what I mean?
It could be.
Maybe they're like, oh my gosh. You know, maybe if it was like a midday going live, it's like, guys, join me right now while you're wide awake. You know, this is like 8 o'clock, you know, we're just starting, you know, it's like, hey. You need someone to hang out with as you're like winding down for the day. I'm your guy. You know, I'm right here right now.
I'm just
like, hey.
I could be that guy in your life.
I'm like, hey, you know, if you were thinking about it, I'm thinking too, you know?
I'm thinking it could be a good idea.
I'm thinking it could be a good idea. That's sort of what we're communicating here.
That's the vibe check.
That's the vibe check, right.
I like it.
Come for a nice chill stream here. I'm not going to be going crazy or anything.
Are you not going crazy? I tend to assume that you go crazy.
Well, it really depends on the that's also true. If we're playing like marbles, which I don't do very often, marbles on stream, love that game, but I need to have a certain amount of enthusiasm left in my body to do it, because you got to put on your announcer voice, and right. You got to be calling these races like your life depends on it, you know.
Absolutely.
Like there are real stakes to this virtual marble race, because if you're not taking it as serious as possible, then you're, you know, what's the fun?
Dude, I feel like I was noticing this so much watching like World Cup soccer, where you could like hear the announcers like basically trying to pre-set up what would be the epic moment if a goal follows. So like everybody knows about like Messi, for example,
right.
From like Argentina. So it's like every time Messi gets the ball in the box, it would be like this person, Messi! Oh, and it's out of the, you know, it's
right,
you know, but like they almost have to go full bore, because if the next word after Messi is goal,
right,
like, you know, it's perfect,
right?
But so then it's like you start to like really pay attention, you start to see like all of the moments that it's like a swing and a miss on the part of the announcer.
I was noticing this too. Yeah, during the especially the finals of the World Cup.
Yes,
when
exactly.
It was like, okay, we are down to the point where like it is prime big moment time. It,
yes, you know? Yes. I mean, it's like the do you believe in miracles?
Yes. Where, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you have like you the announcer have this like shouldered responsibility in that moment, which is like. If I perform this perfectly, this soundbite will go down in history forever and ever and ever.
Right.
And so it's like even them, the intentionality of like trying to make sure that they do it perfectly, like, and not just being like, you know, kind of quiet, absent-minded, like, and the ball, back to Messi, goal! goal.
Right.
It's like you have to like have already like built the hype train. It needs to be on the upward trajectory so that when you go for your like your 10 to 15 second like goal announcement, that people were like, yeah.
Yeah. You got to be building the momentum the entire time because you don't know what storylines are going to come back, you know?
Right.
You got to keep going.
Yes.
Yeah. Build it up. That's where it's at. I know. I feel like this used to be a thing. Like you would hear about, you know, sportscasters who made it. Like they would grow up and they would like watch reruns of games and just like try and do the commentary like as if they were doing it, you know, like practice doing it on pre-recorded games.
Oh, I had no idea that they did that.
Yeah.
That is so brilliant.
Yeah.
What like an interesting way to like. To go after.
I know. I'm always impressed when I watch like. You know, like when I'm watching the Celtics, for example, it's always like the same broadcast team, more or less, unless it's like on a bigger network or whatever. But obviously, you know who all the Celtics are or whatever. But then you also have to know like every player on the other team, too.
Yes.
And they can just rattle them off. No problem. All night long, you know?
Dude, that's another one, yeah, too. Like, and I mean, especially like, you know, I mean, to compare it to like the World Cup. But I mean, any sport, really, there is... inevitably names that are like hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
Too. It's like, you know, like a lot of sport is just becoming much, much, much more international. And if you're not accustomed to pronouncing a specific like spelling or style of name or whatever, like I could see where like going into the game, part of like the reps that you're getting in is like, I mean, this is a terrible example because he's like one of the most popular players in America right now, but like Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Doncic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I did it wrong.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
So it's like, I could see a world where if you've got names like this that are not as common just for us to say, or like as common in the United States or something, like where it's like, okay, in order to get ready for tonight, I got to practice saying this name like 100 times over,
yeah.
So that like I get the cadence down and like the delivery, and it doesn't feel like I'm attempting to pronounce it for the first time when they sing at three.
Yeah, I agree. It's like they must do that too, especially for like the harder to pronounce names. Or I always wonder. In football, because football seems impossible to know everybody's name.
Oh yeah.
Because you know, in basketball, you've got, you know, probably, you know, roughly 15 names you need to know for the game, maybe 20.
Right.
You know, and your team, you pretty much got on lock. It's really the other team or whatever. But like sometimes you'll see, you know, like a defensive lineman break through and get a nice sack, and they'll have that guy's name ready to go off the cuff, no problem. Or even like, or just like just an offensive lineman. It's like, oh yeah, he makes this big block here and that opens the lane for the running back. And it's just like, you just knew that guy's name.
Right.
You just know every starting offensive lineman for every team in the NFL. Like, I don't know. Like, but then in football, there's also like, there's always the play and then the replay. And it's like, they have enough people watching that I'm always like, do they have someone in their earpiece being like, okay, that block was made by X, you know?
Yes.
Right.
I mean,
and they're just repeating it back in real time.
It would be cool to know how the sausage is made with that one, because like, yeah, sometimes you even see them like holding like the big laminated sheets.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder if it's just got like literally every single player on both sides. And it's like, okay, number 14's name is, you know, Brown, you know, and his first name is Antonio. Right. And, you know, the fun fact that you need to know about Antonio Brown is that he grew up in small town Oakland,
right?
Or something, you know. And it's like they are. It's like, do they know these things, or do they like figure out how to deliver things in a way that makes it sound like they always knew it, but they themselves may even just be like discovering it for the first time, because the first time that one defensive linebacker made it through for a sack,
right? Yeah. Or is it just like, no, if this is like your full-time job, it's actually like, it's not really that hard to know all their names.
Maybe not.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's, to be fair, that's another one. Like when we did the Galactic Star Cruiser for like Disney back when they had that like immersive Star Wars like experience, one of the things that like the staff was like really dialed in on, because everything is supposed to be this like live action role play adventure, is they learn your name. They learn everyone's name.
Right.
You know? And so it's like
quick,
very like uncommonly fast.
Yeah.
And you know, so, and you'd figure, I think that was only like a 2-night, 3-night experience or something like that. So any given week, those actors might need to go through and learn a whole batch of 300 more people's names.
Right.
So that during interactions, like they've got it, you know? And And then I think about like you've got like Nick and Nate, you know, it's kind of similar names. They both start with N and they're twins.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, so it's like, and for us, the family who spend a lot of time with them, it's a lot easier to discern.
Right. Yeah. But
like I could see, like on the Disney cruise, for example, like the attendant who was like assigned to like our specific rooms knew all of our names, but I could see a world where it'd be tricky to get Nick and Nate right. Like just on the basis
because they're twins.
Of being identical twins. Yeah. It's like these two look the same. And I don't know you. Like, I know you well enough to know all your names. I don't know you well enough to
which one's which.
Right. Yes. So like part of me wonders whether or not like coming into the event, if they've got like a photo of you and they were like literally doing flashcards, like, okay, like this is Ben, this is Alice, this is Addison, this is Jonathan, this is, you know, Elizabeth, like whatever, you know, they're like repping. So by the time they see you, you're like, Ben, how are
you? How are you? Welcome aboard.
Right. Or maybe you get on and they're like, Jonathan, did you grow a mustache?
Yeah. Right. Well, different.
In the photo, you didn't have a mustache.
I'm pretty memorable these days because of the mustache.
The mustache helps. Sure.
Yeah. Stands out.
It does. Makes a difference.
Yep.
But yeah, so I think it's, you're right though, where like maybe if you're like the sportscaster and you're going into collegiate football and you largely cover, you know, I don't know, the ACC, for example, it's like maybe you're covering every team enough times to where it's just like knowing most of the people's names in your high school. Like,
right.
You just kind of get to know them because like you spend enough time around all of them and maybe you just like watch enough tape and like whatever.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about like even just your high school teacher, you know, they teach 8 classes a day and you assume they know the name of every student in every class.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And I mean, for that matter, it's like, you know, a game of football might take, you know, 3.5 hours or whatever. And it's like, I don't know how many games you can call per week, you know, but most of the games take place on either Thursday or Saturday, which would make you think that, you know, you're surely not only working 3 hours on Saturday.
Right.
You know,
so yeah, like, you're doing stuff the rest of the week.
Maybe the other 37 hours is spent like watching tape and preparing, exactly, researching and, you know, staying up to date. Let's like this weekend I've got Virginia Tech and Clemson. So I'm going to know everything about them.
Right.
I'm going to watch a whole bunch of highlight reels about the best Clemson linebackers or whatever, you know, so that when something comes up, boom, bam.
Yeah. Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should practice calling a game sometime, you know?
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's the other thing too, about like watching like soccer is that, I mean, and to be fair, like I even feel like I was starting to get like some of the names down from like watching it,
you know,
because the ball like skirts around the field and you kind of know like roughly where like each player plays.
Yeah.
But they're so little.
They are so little. Yeah.
Out there on the field. You're sort of like, it's like, who's that?
I feel like basketball has got to be the greatest, like is probably the best starter one. Cause you only got, especially if you're just going to do like one team over and over and over, it's like, you're going to get those 5 guys, those 8 guys or whatever. No problem. Real quick. And then like, you know, even just like a couple years of watching it a little more consistently, it's like, you know, the players around the league, at least the big ones, you know, they're starting to stand out. Like, you know who on the other team is the problem, you know?
Right.
Yeah. You've played enough games against Tyrese Maxey where you're like, I hate this guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wonder if there would ever be a world where you, like, let's just say a podcast, like you're coaching, you know, like Luke's basketball team or whatever, but like my podcast is going and calling Luke's games.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like literally I know like all like, you know, 25 players, you know, between Luke's team and the other team or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of like going through and like going to like halftime and be like, coach, how are you feeling about the first half of the game? Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Like make a real media frenzy about rec sports.
That's exactly it. It's like, well, you know, I think Luke really needs to sharpen it up there at point guard, but otherwise I'm feeling pretty good about the defense we're playing.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, but then like to the outside world, people get like deeply invested in this like 7-year-old.
Right. How are we progressing through the league, you know?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. It's like, what if you got a run? What if you can make it to the ship?
What if we make it to the ship, you know? I mean, last season, I don't even think they were keeping track. This is the thing, like, they weren't keeping track of points in Luke's last season. But, like, in the stands, like, you know, you can get a little scoreboard, a little app on your phone and be like, is anyone keeping score? And be like, yeah, it's like 21-6. We got it, you know?
Oh, we got this. If anything, we're running away with
it. You know what? We're cooking.
We're cooking.
I'm going to be honest. The other team's not very good.
Do you think the other parents even like drill their kids in the middle of the night?
Yeah, right. You know, come on, like,
where's your commitment?
Where's your commitment? You guys trying to win games out here? And it's like, they're not keeping score, and it's like, but you can tell, right?
It's like,
vibe check, right? Though,
but you know, we are.
You know, you didn't score as much though, right? Like that felt, you could feel it,
right? Like, right? Like as long as the kids have fun and we win,
yeah.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is no secret at this point that Jay and I are big advocates for mental health and trying to knock down any stigma behind seeking out therapy. We are both regulars ourselves in our own sessions, and our team has the freedom to take their own sessions as needed, no questions asked. And as much as we speak about our own experiences, it's not just us. If you head over to betterhelp.com/reviews, you can see so many other people sharing their experience and the impact that it's had on their lives. And it honestly warms my heart that there are so many of them. Over 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally and maintain a 4.9 out of 5 rating based on over 1.7 million reviews. And when I stepped into my first therapy session, I had myself convinced I was being dramatic. The crazy part is realizing just how much weight you may be carrying with you every day. And there is someone out there who can help. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Man, I'm getting it's getting closer and closer to like the start of the soccer season. I'm gonna have to coach here this fall, so I've been trying to think a little bit more like that. Like, how do I want to do practice? Like, I talked to the I had a phone call last night with like the overarching, I don't know, guy who manages the league or whatever.
Okay,
just, you know, what can I expect? What equipment will be provided, what do I need to go buy and stuff like that. And he's giving me all these like, you know, tips and information. He's like, oh, one thing I'll tell you for practice is try not to do anything where people have to stand in line, because like they're not gonna do it. And I'm like, oh man. And I'm thinking back to like every soccer practice I ever had as a kid, and I'm like, we definitely stood in lines.
I was gonna say, like, when I think about soccer practice, I largely think about like lines.
Yeah. Stand in line, you know, do it. So I was like, that's an interesting tip. And this was something new, is I remember whenever we would get to soccer practice, our coach would come dragging this giant mesh bag of soccer balls out of the trunk of his car.
Absolutely. I know the one.
You know the one. Exactly. And so I'm like, you know, are we going to give him balls? When did he go buy balls? And he's like, yeah, well, we'll like, yeah, you'll be given a game ball. And then if we have like extras, I tend to get a lot, you know, we can probably throw you like an extra one for practice too. And I'm like, two balls, right? That doesn't feel like enough. And he's like, yeah, but then the way he's talking about it, just like, yeah, so then I would try and make sure you're doing drills where like all the kids are just using their ball the whole time, like, you know, as if like, oh, is the modern practice that every child brings a ball?
BYOB.
Yeah, BYOB. And I'm like, well, now that's interesting. Can I rely on that? Do I need to tell them to bring a ball, you know? I feel like I need to just go buy some anyway.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It feels like having that bag of mesh balls would not be the worst thing to just possess in your home.
Yeah, it feels like.
You know?
It feels like.
I mean, because that's, I don't know. Like, our soccer coach also happened to be like my best friend growing up's dad.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember going into their garage and he had like a bag of size threes, a bag of size fours, a bag of size fives.
Right.
You know, he had cones. He had all the bits.
Right.
You know, these are important things.
Right. Like, you know, we're only doing, you know, U10 soccer here.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, and they'll give you some supplies, but it's like, I mean, you know, if we get our own supplies, how much better can we make these kids? You know,
that's the thing. And you know? I mean, this is where like, I know that it's probably not in the spirit of the game, but like, to me, it's almost like as an outside observer with no investment, like no investment. I'm actually proposing an investment. If anything, I don't have a child on the team. And yet it's sort of like, can we sponsor them?
We sponsor this team?
You know, it's like, well, like, can we go in and have like the best jerseys, you know, like,
right. or they will give us the jerseys and the shorts and the socks.
Do you have to use them?
Well, I don't know. That's true. I didn't ask that. He just said that they would be provided. And I'm like, but, you know.
But I can provide my own, right?
Yeah. But like optional, right? Like we provide our own jerseys. Right?
That's right. You know that's saying? Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, the current state of like collegiate sports is that they have this like new system in place that like allows for the players to be paid for their likeness,
mm-hmm.
which is very interesting because like so many players throughout history have been like dinged for like selling their own autographs on eBay to like make money to like buy a laptop,
right,
or whatever. And it was always like the school you know, just Virginia Tech alone, for example, you know, has 68,000 seats in Lane Stadium where they play. And Virginia Tech is notoriously sold out,
right?
You know, in terms of like attendance, which means that like at $50 a pop plus donor support, you know,
plus the box seats and, you know,
and concessions and all the rest, is like a ton of money is flowing through this ecosystem.
Yeah.
In terms of like how much money is generated because those players are there. So I have always kind of been like one of those people where it's like, you're going to get mad at them for selling their own autograph to like pay for a laptop.
Right.
When they're making the school, like how much money,
right? Like buy them a laptop or something then, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But so the idea there is almost like, you know, like can, I mean, could you go in and like, you know, I mean, NIL and Rec League U10 soccer? Like,
That's going to go well.
I'm kidding for what it's worth, but you know, it does seem like it would be fun to just go through and like, you know, like I mean, in my mind, I feel like I'm making it sound as though like the idea is to like make our team the best. There's a part of me that also just feels like it would be so exciting as the player just to get to show up and then be like, we have cleats.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, or something. I don't know. You know, like our team color is green, so we have green cleats.
Right. Yeah. Everyone's got green.
Yeah. Like we're going to be kitted up.
Right. Yeah. We're gonna look good.
We're gonna look good.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I really gotta try and start looking up like how do I want to, you know, conduct each practice. You know, is it like, you know, we have like three main drills, four main drills, you know?
I mean,
end on scrimmage, probably.
I mean,
we always end on scrimmage. Yeah.
End on scrimmage. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always practice, you know, taking like corner kicks, goal kicks.
Stuff yeah. Like we have like set plays going in. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you get the triangle, you know, passing equation mm-hmm. down. You know,
yeah.
You stay inside your zone. Don't cluster around the ball. You know, like if they cluster and you can pass it to open space, then look at this.
There you go.
We're goal scoring people.
We are golden.
Yeah. Even. Yeah. Exactly. G-O-A-L-D.
Exactly.
Goal.
We also learned that we're playing, it's 7-on-7 ball.
Oh.
7-on-7, including keeper.
Wow.
So it's really keeper plus six.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, what's our formation look like? Are we going like 2-2-2, you know?
Mm.
Right? Because then you want like a center forward, you could do like 1-2-3, you know? Center forward, 2 mid, 3 D. 2-3-1.
2-3, I mean, or 3-2-1, and right. Just full offense always.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One defender.
Let your sweeper do what they're going to sweep.
That's right, yeah. You know what? We got one kid he's fast on defense. We got two mids up there. They get it past the offense. It's like they just got to get past one more kid.
You know what, Jay? I would just pull the goalie altogether.
You know what? We don't even play goalie on this team.
We don't even play goalie. Yeah. We're full, you know.
We're full power play all the time.
5-1-1.
Yeah, there we go.
Five forwards, one midfielder.
We play a seven. That's it. Seven forwards.
Seven forwards. That's right. They all crash the goal.
Everyone crashed the goal. It's going to work great.
Yeah. Okay. So aside from like the actual technical skills and learning how to play the game, what kind of like life support are you thinking here?
What kind of
like,
life support?
Like, you know, like if there's a kid who needs like, you know, that moment of inspiration, you know, mm-hmm. like the, like, you know, got to have the memory of a goldfish.
Right.
You know?
Like, yeah. Yeah, just shake that off, get back up, get back out there. You know, I think, yeah, that'll be the interesting part is that, like, how do you help the kids who really need more help, like, learning to play the game?
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, not just learning to play the game, but, like, even just, like, holding confidence in the game, you know? Because, like, I can tell you for an honest-to-goodness fact that when I was a kid and we were playing Rec League soccer, that I would almost be no more freaked out ever than when the ball came to me.
Yeah.
And it was like, what do I do?
Right.
Like, I don't know where to put this.
Right. You know? Pass it to the guy at the field.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, like, I felt like a lot of times, you know, like I would get the ball and I would start like sprinting forward and I would kick the ball too hard and it would go 10 feet in front of me. Then the other people would take the ball and I'm like, oh man, I just let everybody down.
Right. Hopefully we don't think that way.
I know. Well, I mean, exactly. It's like, so you have to defy the Ben.
Right. Defy the Ben.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because
there's going to be a little Ben maybe. You know, like,
there could be a Ben on this team who's just real nervous about kicking the ball at all.
That's exactly it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you really want to score.
Right.
You know, like that would be so fun.
That'd be great.
Glory.
Yeah.
But you know.
But can it happen?
But the timid.
But the timid, right.
The yips.
I think, yeah. We'll work them through it. It's going to be okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
Actually, I do remember this other time when I was a kid. This is just a fun story that doesn't really have much to do with coaching or anything like that. But there was a kid on the other team who would, like, I think legitimately, just as like a scare tactic, was like snarling at everyone.
Oh, wow.
And it scared me as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was like I was supposed to be like defending this kid and he would just like growl.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do with
What's
you.
What's this guy doing?
It's like,
is he going to bite me?
Like, it's like, Are you going to bite me?
I don't want that.
Like, I know. I mean, I know we're, you know, on opposing teams and everything and therefore mortal enemies, but like, are you going to bite me right now?
Yeah. That seems a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he was. I think it was just,
that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually then reminds me that as I got older, Big Steve, our good buddy, when we were running cross country our senior year, we decided that we were going to be those people.
Yeah.
And so before the races, we would like someone would like take their spikes off and like spike him in the leg. And it was this like whole horrifying.
What? They'd be like bleeding.
He would like, I mean, it was like, you know, like pinpricks.
Uh-huh.
But like it was still more than we ever should have done. It was pretty intense.
No kidding. Where in the leg?
He would like kneel, you know, like in like a position. I wasn't involved with this, actually, for what it's worth. I feel like I need to offer that disclosure.
Okay.
I mean, I witnessed it. I was on the team. I was right there.
Had to stop it.
You know, but I didn't hold the shoe.
Yeah, sure. Sure. So you would make like a display in front of the other teams.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the problem was that we weren't very good.
Right.
Yeah.
Turns out when you spike your runners, they don't run good.
Well, and I think the thing was is that it fired Steven up more than anything. Like it was, I think he was really leading the charge on the entire thing. Like, I think he saw it as like this like intimidation factor, but also like not really, because we just weren't that, you know, impressive.
Sure.
So I think it was more just like for us. Like,
yeah.
It was more like we thought we were being so like, you know.
Yeah. The camaraderie of it all.
Exactly. Right, yeah. We were being like little rascals.
That's more important.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds pretty fun though. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll be like, all right, Luke, get up here. We're going to hit you with some shoes.
That's a one-way ticket.
We're going to spike you.
That's a permaban on the rec league coaching.
Yeah, they're like, nope. What kind of culture are you building over here, coach? I'll be like, a winning one.
My boys intend to win.
That's right. You looking at our scores? You looking at our scores?
They're fine.
We're producing, you know?
It's like, sir, you're 50-50.
You're 50-50. Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see about that.
For now. They're growing.
Right. They're growing. They're going to be great. They're going to be great.
The calluses are forming.
My immediate thought for how I'm going to try and set this up, even before we start, is I'm going to try and find whoever my three fastest kids are.
Okay.
Right? We want one of them at forward, mid, and D at all times.
Okay.
That's my immediate thought. They can rotate around so they can mix it up. But like, I feel like you got to have a fast person on defense and a fast person in mid and a fast person in front.
Right.
You know, especially at this age, just like, if you're just sort of near the ball, it's probably, you know,
it's not gonna
you're going to cause some chaos, you know?
That's exactly it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Spread out the speed.
So maybe like day one is just like a clinic on like, what is it called before? Like a combine.
Right. It's day one. Put down those balls, people. Don't expect to touch them.
What is that from? I feel like there's a movie where they're like, we're not going to play with the ball.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like
that is in something. What is that? Oh my gosh, I cannot remember. Yep. It's like, you got to play with each other before you can play with the ball or something. But they're like passing like an air ball or something to each other, aren't they?
Maybe that is what it is. Yeah. It's in there somewhere. Someone will know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
The point is, we're running today.
We are running. We are jumping.
I need to know. I need to see your skills. Also, I found out, though, there'd be no heading in this league.
No heading.
Can't hit the ball with your head.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Surprising.
Well, I mean, I guess that is surprising.
I mean, I guess it's because their brains aren't fully developed yet or something. Don't want to offer them head injuries or whatever.
They're all about protecting brain cells in our under 10s.
Right. I mean, I don't think they're thinking hard enough about, you know, crashing the goal on a corner kick and slamming the ball into the back of the net with your head.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean,
think of the glory.
Think of the glory.
They'll never forget that.
My first ever goal that I scored in middle school soccer was a header.
Oh, nice.
And I felt good about that.
I mean, yeah.
You know,
how could you not?
Right. I mean, and it was like against like one of those teams where we like won 1-0 too. And it was like,
booyah.
I had the
booyah.
Goal.
Booyah. I know. I remember two specific goals I had in high school soccer.
I think I witnessed both of them.
Oh, okay, cool. One was against Blacksburg.
Yes.
Yeah, which was a not great game. Blacksburg was always the best team in our district.
Yeah.
At least while I was there. I don't know what the situation is now. They probably suck now. Losers.
People are like, you guys really came after it today. Like, apparently when you guys talk about sports, you're not nearly as nice and introspective.
There's a different attitude on the field. Okay.
This is war.
You know, this is what defines you. No, it's not.
No. Yeah.
But I remember we were down like 5-0. So we'd pretty much lost the game.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Which is saying something though, because this was typically like the only team all year we would lose to.
Right.
I remember it's like one of those, like they've put a bunch of their subs in, you know, at this point. And I remember our keeper made a save and I just called for the ball. I was playing right mid and I got it. And I just had the run of my life down the field where I came up against one kid and he tried to get the ball from me and he went flying and I kept moving forward. And the next guy, same thing. It was like, it sort of kept working out. I would like kick it past them. They'd turn around and run to it. I had way more momentum. So by the time they got there and we ran into each other, they were gone, you know? Like, and I was always playing the ball. And I think this happened to like 3 different players that just got like knocked down by me as I made my way upfield towards the goal. And we got to the final guy and he turned around in time and he's like sprinting towards it and the goal is going forward. And I just slide and I hit the ball and it goes in the back of the net. And I was like, oh my God, that was, it was such a good feeling, you know, yeah. Like made it the full length of the field just about, you know.
And no shutout.
Exactly. Saved the shutout.
That's
5-1. It's great. That was good. And then our other one was against our, you know, our hated rivals across the street, Hidden Valley.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. Yeah.
Like, yep. Yep.
Can't have that.
Can't be having that. And it was a tie game, 1-1. And I think it was a corner kick situation. And the ball like came flying down off the top of the crossbar, bounced once like right in front of the goal. And again, I had a slide. I slid, knocked it in. I only had to knock it like 1 foot forward, but you know, everyone was scrambling like crazy because it's like the ball is so in the danger zone.
Right.
But
right.
It came off my foot. So I got the winning goal that night and I was very happy.
Amazing.
Yeah, right.
So your two goals were against like 2 of the most notorious teams.
Exactly. And I didn't score very much, but I remember those two.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, very impressive. I'm just so proud of you. So yeah. these are the kinds of like, so maybe you should also have slide tackle or slide kick.
Slide kick, yeah.
Tutorial. Be like,
yeah,
all right,
this is look, I didn't do much right.
Right.
Well, I could score a goal sliding.
Right. Maybe you should come up with a good like coach name, like Big J.
Big J.
Like, now Big J is about to show you guys how it's done. All right.
You can call
now,
me Coach J or just Big J if you want. You know,
that's it. Yeah.
Right.
So, Coach J, Big J. I mean, any version of this is going to be great. You
right.
know, but not just J, you know, like it's, we got to keep it formal.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Right. I'm your superior.
You'll salute when I walk into the field.
Exactly.
Yes, coach.
That's right. Oh boy, we'll have like a little, we'll be like super regimented.
Yeah.
Like, oh, those kids over there enjoying their orange slices. Orange slices are for what? Winners.
Now I'm imagining you guys like losing a game, like the parents who brought the Capri Suns or whatever. It's like, no, if you want
Pack
Capri Suns, you score goals if you want Capri Suns. Where's the trash can?
That would be the worst attitude ever.
It truly would be.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, this is all satire.
This is all satire. This is not how we're going to be. Not for U10.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe next year.
Maybe next year. All right. Yeah. 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 U12, different story.
I mean, it's like, this is the big leagues now.
Yeah. We might not even bring balls to practice, you know?
None whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
We only use balls at the games.
That's right. That's right. Between, you know what we're going to do there? We're going to outrun them. All right. Hard.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, this is good stuff. I actually do think, you know, like a la the bear, like yes, chef.
Yes, chef.
Yes, chef. I feel like you could totally like instill that.
And yeah.
It would be kind of just like a funny little like topical thing.
Yeah.
Where like, it's like, all right, guys, when I give you a command, you say.
Yes, chef.
Yes, chef.
Yes, chef.
And then like, you know, you could wear like a t-shirt that says they call me the chef.
They call me chef. Yeah. Yeah. Chef J.
Chef J.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. See, now I feel like we're getting somewhere.
We're cooking, you know, literally now because we're chefs.
Because we're chefs. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
See. And then
team, you know, culture.
Team culture.
Right.
You're starting to like really, I mean, maybe you can even just name the entire, like maybe if you get to name the squad, it's like, we're the cooks.
Yeah, we're the cooks, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the bear.
We're the bear.
It's like the bears. It's like, no.
The bear.
The bear. The one.
Bear.
The restaurant.
Like the restaurant. Yeah. Gosh, get with it.
Are you confusing it with the animal?
Bearzado.
Do you think that grizzly bears are good at soccer, sir?
Sir?
Referee?
Right.
Man?
They'd be like, do you think anyone in that restaurant was good at soccer?
Listen, you don't know.
You don't know. Okay. Actually, in the final season, they do start calling the whole team Bears. They're like, let's go Bears. You know.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're not going to say that. We're going to say yes, chef.
Yeah, we're going to say yes, chef. That's right. On this team.
I already can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay. So now here's another one. Yeah. Here's another one for you. Walkout music, because I would be willing to invest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like 15 to 30 grand
right.
on like
some speakers,
outdoor speaker systems.
Get one of those like inflatable archways, you know,
precisely
smoke machine,
fog machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Confetti cannons.
Right.
Biodegradable confetti, obviously.
Obviously.
I mean, like, you know, it's like, be responsible.
Do we do it right and just get the official rights to the John Cena entrance music? Just pay the licensing fee, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think we probably should. Yeah. Or alternatively, hear me out. We just get John Cena to come and do a live performance at every single game.
That would make me the literal coolest coach ever.
I mean, there is literally no question about it. I mean, that would be as good
that
as
would it, be it.
That would
yeah.
be as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then, you know, so we were talking about like orange slices, but now I'm starting to think that like whatever we offer after the games probably needs to be a little more elevated.
A little more elevated. Yeah. Like restaurant, like Michelin star quality.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what would the bear do?
What would Carmi
make if you were like, okay,
who puts ketchup on a hot dog?
Kids,
Richie.
No, so it's like you take Carmi's version of an orange slice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, take the orange slice, elevate it. You know, like, what is it, a deconstructed orange slice?
Orange slice, as if it's not already a raw ingredient. Yeah. It's a seed at that point. It's orange seeds.
It's like in little plastic cups. It's like orange plants like starting to grow. And
you're like, you want orange slices? You go home and you nurture this for the next 5 years.
And then they'll say, yes, chef. And then 5 years from now, when they are like basically going to be playing Premier League soccer at the ripe old age of 13.
Right. Yeah. You know, they'll all be showing up to practice. They'll be like, everyone bring their oranges. Good.
That's right. That's good. Yeah, because you, my team, we grow our oranges.
We grow our oranges. That would actually be super cool. I actually very much like that idea. If I knew for sure that, you know, I could successfully coach the same, you know, team for 10 years.
Right. I know. Could you imagine like the headline when you like inevitably like coach them to like the state championship as like high schoolers or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, you've been playing with them since they were like U10.
Right.
Era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, they've all grown their own Roanoke based orange trees.
Yeah. Where I don't think oranges grow.
Not well.
No. Well,
yeah. It's like, they might be a little bitter, but you know what? Like, that's what builds character.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Maybe we'll give everyone like a cucumber plant, you know? You know, you'll have them ready by the end of the season, right? It'll be great.
A cucumber plant. Like, you get to the end of the game and everybody's just eating.
Got a cucumber.
A cucumber is like, it's corn on the cob or something.
Oh, man. That's so less fun.
Yeah, people will be like, why are your kids eating raw cucumbers?
It's like, good for you. Vegetables build muscles.
Exactly. There's fiber. And look, you know, we gave them each a salt packet at the beginning of the season. They ration it as they see fit.
Exactly.
You know, so if they feel like putting salt on their cucumber to give it a little extra pizzazz, then that's their prerogative.
Yeah, they do what they got to do.
And then you'd be like, right, kids? And they would say, yes, chef!
That's right. Boy, coaching soccer is going to be fun.
I know. Who knew? Who knew that we could like invent an entirely new culture?
Just inventing the culture on the fly right here.
You know, but that's the thing though. So think about like tailgating, for example. They call it tailgating before like a football game, because like the idea is that like people would roll up in like their vehicles and you would like literally just make food off of the back of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And that's like the idea. It's like, use your tailgate as like the place to like cook your hot dogs or, you know, have some chicken or something like that.
Right.
And then as time has gone on, it's sort of like, well, hey, it's kind of sunny. Like, what if we brought like a tent?
Right.
You know, then like we can get some coverage while we hang out back here. And then eventually it's sort of like, why don't we have like a fully catered occasion with like a TV that has a satellite dish attached to the top of our RV? And, you know, we've got John Cena on retainer to get us pumped up for the game.
John Cena is like the recurring like cameo in the 27 Butts Productions movies, you know?
Oh,
right. Like he's in like every movie somewhere.
Okay. So what? Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So what is the world where if like we're ever like taking this to the next level? So maybe not even the next level. What if we make this a reality, but not in reality, but in film form? So it's like Air Bud. You know, like, except instead of it's a dog playing basketball or soccer or whatever variations of Air Bud that they made, it's just like a bunch of kids who you're going completely over the top in terms of like making their, you know, their growth as soccer players, and not only soccer players, humans.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you can find meaning in the kind of running that you have to do to stay on this team, maybe you can find meaning in another absurd pastime.
Life. See, that was beautiful, but don't give me too much credit.
It's a quote from Bill Bowerman.
Bill Bowerman.
Without Limits.
And Without Limits. So maybe not even a real Bill Bowerman quote. But
possibly not, but it's a real quote from a movie about Bill Bowerman. Well, it's actually about Steve Prefontaine.
But yeah.
Bill Bowerman's his coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, just another example of how he was able to like mold Pree into hopefully someone who was capable of growth a little bit.
Yeah. And the good news is as soon as he was, he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was kind of unfortunate.
Really unfortunate, yeah.
I used kind of as a modifier. It was wholly unfortunate and deeply sad.
It was very sad. It makes you wonder what the world of American running would look like today if he had not died. You know?
We probably can't go down that line.
We can't
too
go
fast.
Down. Yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
It's just going to be upsetting to think about.
I know, right? How different could it be?
How did we go from 27 Butts Productions making our very own children's soccer movie to just being absolutely like down on ourselves here?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you made a Bill Bowerman quote.
Okay, so here's my thought then. You've recently watched the movie Anaconda.
With Paul Rudd and Jack Black?
Yes. Where they're basically,
the new one.
The new one where they're like attempting to like recreate everything.
Yeah.
Like I think that the idea here would sort of be like taking like small scale like budget at the beginning, like the characters. They're sort of like, how can we take rec league soccer over the top?
Right.
You know? And it's like it would be injecting, not because it's all meant for like jokes, but then also I feel like it would rub off on the actual United States soccer community.
Like, how do you like make a movie where it's kind of a joke, but then people start actually sort of doing it?
Actually start doing it, and then it's the kind of thing where it's like 15 years from now, all of a sudden we're like contenders in the World Cup because a bunch of kids who are growing up growing their own orange trees go on to be exceptional athletes who have decided to take the path of soccer instead of any of the more profitable sports like basketball, baseball, or football.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like, you know, we're in the World Cup and highly competitive. I said 15 years, 16 years. Because it's every 4 years,
when right? Finished one. Just played one. Yeah.
So I mean, canonically, I got to get my numbers right.
Right.
But yeah, and so all of a sudden, it's like, well, what was the difference? And it's like, well, these two brothers from Virginia who weren't very good at soccer, but knew how to slide a ball into the back of the net against Blacksburg and Hidden Valley.
Yeah. Came,
they put their heads together and they reinvented American soccer culture.
Right.
And in doing so, there's a whole new generation of kids who have never known anything other than John Cena entrance songs, confetti cannons, fog machines, and over the top sound systems.
People said we went too far, you know?
Right. Right.
People said we ruined it. We made it too, we put it too much on a pedestal.
The kids didn't know how to find importance in any other facet of their life because when they were on that field, they were champions.
They were champions, you know, and it only worked for some teams because, you know, they do all this fanfare and then they wouldn't win, you know?
Yeah, it's like one team has to lose.
Right. Yeah.
In the history after this film came out, in the history of rec soccer, there were no victories ever again, only ties.
Yeah.
Because both teams were so good that
they were so hyped.
What would be like the perfect amount of goals that could be scored in a tie for every single rec league game ever that would suggest that the goalie was good? The goalie was good.
Mm-hmm.
But the forwards and the midfielders and the defenders were also good.
Right.
You know?
It's like a 3-3 tie every time.
Like a 3-3 tie. Yeah. It's like every single game ends in 3-3. And the way that we structure that, and here's the real kicker, is that people think it's unbelievable, right? Like you sitting at home, you're like, how in the world could we ever get it to the point where it's always 3-3 every time? Well, here's my proposal. It's like Quidditch. The game doesn't end until it's 3-3.
Yeah. Change the rules.
Change the rules. It'll be 3-3.
But what if a team scores 4?
They won't, because we'll start removing their players, so they can't.
Oh.
You know, so it's like, you know, you've got like a star on the other team. It's like, hey, you can't play anymore.
That's it.
Yeah, it's like, we need it to be 3-3.
Every time you score a goal, you're out of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's mm-hmm. how we make sure everybody's getting their reps in, too.
Right.
We can't have too many people getting too good. We don't need individual stars. We need everybody to be amazing.
It's a team effort, man. You know?
It is a team effort.
This is a community, all right? Everyone does their part.
People might even call it a grove.
A grove of oranges.
That's exactly what I was going for. Oh, my gosh. Name of the movie.
The Orange Grove, The Grove.
The Grove.
The Grove.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like literally like you get to like watch. And that's the other thing. Okay. All right. Full commitment here. Are you familiar? There was a movie that came out years ago. I don't even know the name of it. Never seen it before. But I think it's a movie that they started filming like 40 years ago. And they let the kid age into like a full-blown adult. And they were filming the movie year after year so that as the kid himself actually got older,
yeah,
he's older in the film.
That's crazy.
You know, so it's not like a matter of like casting a child and then having an adult. And it's like, oh, they kind of look the same. It's like, it is the same person. Well, we're going to do the exact same thing. We're going to film this over 16 years.
Right.
You know, we start when they're 9.
Yeah.
Right. And then as they grow, it's like you have like the same people involved.
Boom, boom.
Right. Stranger Things. You know, like 11 was like 11.
Right.
You know, and then now she's Millie Bobby Brown.
Right. Exactly. Even though only like a year or so has passed in the actual show.
It's like, when do you guys look so different?
Yeah. You guys hit puberty like really hard.
Right. Yeah. Must be the whole Stranger Things.
Yeah, I know. That's the strangest thing in this show. How much you guys grew.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Right.
You get the exposure to the upside down, you know, accelerates growth or something.
That'll do it to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's pure growth hormones.
That's what all those flakes in the air are. They're just growth hormones that they were sucking in the whole time.
New headcanon.
You know, if you want to know why everyone in that show got so old so fast, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool though? Because I feel like there's also a bunch of like headlines right now because there's that like Ted Lasso star who like actually is now playing like professional soccer.
Yeah.
And I think the whole world is just like happy for him that it's sort of, cause he's the, I can't think of what his name is in the show or the actor's name, but he's like the football is life.
Oh, Danny.
Danny Rojas.
Danny Rojas. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. He's actually playing professional soccer now, but this would be the same thing, Jay. Like we would be the people, and it's sort of like, you know, the kid from that movie, like he plays professional soccer now. Yeah,
like, right, like it was like a real thing for him.
Right for the Premier League soccer team, the Roanoke Chefs, which is a Premier League soccer team.
It's an expansion of the Premier League into America.
It's just one team. You know, the MLS is still here. Thriving
at this point because of us.
Because of us. But we're over there.
But we're over there. We play overseas. Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
We're serious.
Anyway, that's my acid trip of a description of how we're going to go on to reinvigorate United States soccer.
There you go. It starts here. You know, you got to start somewhere. The best time to plant an orange tree was 20 years ago. The next best time was today.
Today.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to go buy some orange seeds.
There you go. Do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. My peach tree's looking so-so.
Congratulations.
Fun fact. I look like we're like 50 peaches on there, but I think something, they got like black, there's some spotting. I don't know what's causing it. So
I'm going to bet leeches.
You think leeches?
I think leeches.
Peach leech?
The peaches.
The peach leeches. The peach leeches, yeah.
Wow. I wonder if that's why my brain chose the word leech in that particular moment. It was
leeched onto a rhyme, did it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, leeched on. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. I hope that you enjoyed every single bit of the lack of hinges that were on the door that was this episode.
You know, we reinvented soccer. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
More like it. Also, human's guide to selfies.
Yeah. A human's guide to selfies, you know? What are you trying to accomplish with that selfie? Yeah. And is it worth practicing in the mirror? You know,
it's hard to say, but I want to like lower the stigma, you know, like, I mean, if it makes you feel better, do it.
You know, selfies are for everyone.
Selfies are for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's not
celebrate your selfie. You know?
It's not all about your selfie.
Yeah.
Oh man. Anyway, if you guys have feedback for the show, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, there's all sorts of fun perks over on Patreon. You can get ad-free listening, exclusive merch after the final pop, which is just bonus content after each week's recording session where Jay and I either go further into the merits of orange grove cultivation or just simply talk about something we didn't get to in the main episode.
Yep.
You can check all that out at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop!
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.